I certainly hope that I don't need to shout because the changing of the temperature is somehow affecting my voice. So I hope I don't need to shout. What I want to share with us this evening, I do hope and pray that it will prove to be a blessing in our lives. Many of us don't recognize of how blessed we are. Many of us has really grown up in a Christian environment. And because of this, we take a lot of things for granted. Because we grew up in a Christian environment. We have heard about Christ, we have heard about His death and His resurrection, and we have heard so many things over the years. But one of the most blessed things that we could ever hear is that God, who loved us so much, gave His only begotten Son that we not only live, but we can live a more victorious life. This evening, what I want us to contemplate. My topic is, how good is perfect? I have been doing a little reading since I came back the last time from the Orlando retreat. And there are some thoughts that I read that has challenged and blessed my heart. And so this evening I want all of us to contemplate the thought, how good is perfect? I invite you to turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel chapter 28, and we're going to read from verses 12 through to 15. Ezekiel 28, verse 12 to 15. As I was reading into these verses earlier today, there was a pain in my heart as I read through each of these verses. And I keep asking myself the question, how could this happen? And I guess in your mind, you might be wondering, how could what happen? But the scripture says in Ezekiel 28 verse 12 through to 15, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. And say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, and emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold, the workmanship of thy tablets, of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God, thou hast walked upon up and down in the midst of the stone of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou was created. Who is this talking about? You know what fascinates me? I was reading Ezekiel this morning, and somehow I got a little picture in my mind of how a magnificent angel this was. When you read the description of this angel, you wonder. The scripture says, every precious stone was thy covering. And if you can just stretch your imagination a little to think about this majestic being who was dazzling in all his glory. Why? Because God created him like this. And I really believe in all my heart that God created him for His God's glory a majestic being. The scripture says, thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou was created. The question is, how good is perfect? How good is perfect? How far does perfection goes? Again, in Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven? Now, as I think about it, I was trying to see if I could equate such a dazzling being, one that was created with all this splendor. And in Isaiah, it says, how art thou fallen? And somehow, when I was reading through these words, there was an ache and a pain in my heart. Because it appears as if it takes time. And there was a lot of plan in this being. But what happened? What took place? Did it meet the desired results? Was it a waste of time? Did God know that this majestic being would fall from grace? Why not leave off some of these precious stones? Why not say one of these days, I know that you're going to sin against me, so I'm going to leave out the emerald. I'm going to leave off the diamond. But that's not how God works. God fitted this being in all his glory. But the sad thing is, in Isaiah it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, and I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation. In the sides of the north I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. The question is, how good? How good is perfect? There was a time when Jesus was on earth and they called him Good Master. And Jesus says, no, don't call me that. There is only one that is good, and that is God. This evening I want to paint before us three pictures. And I hope and pray that within these three pictures that we can a little bit appreciate the plan of salvation. We can more appreciate and digest what Christ has accomplished when he died on Calvary. There was another sad moment in earth history in Eden. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, and God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. How perfect, how magnificent was the first man? The Bible says that he was made in the image, and not only in the image of God, but he was made also in the likeness of God. It seems as if God, whatever he does, he goes to the extreme. When he made these two new babes, when he started off, he made them in his own image, and he goes a little bit further in his own likeness. Has it ever dawned on you, brothers and sisters, that those 6,000 years of sin has caused this race to be depraved, and that you and I were made in the very image of our God? The scripture says, He gave them dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God gave to man everything. The question is, what was lacking? What was short in Eden? What it is that Adam and Eve needed that God did not supply? What it is that Satan needed that God did not supply? Where did he come up short of supplying? How perfect can you get? If it is God that is doing the job, then you must understand that this perfection is perfect. It's ultimate. The mastermind has done it. How could something that is perfect lead to the place where it becomes stained with sin? How good is perfect? I'd like to read you, when I was going through this, I was in a little shock because, and I don't want to go ahead of myself, and I don't have a lot of time. You know, Sister White says in the little book, Our High Calling, angelic perfection failed in heaven. Human perfection failed in Eden. The question is, how good is perfect? How good? Is it because God made you perfect today that means you are good and you will remain good? What is the key in order to be kept in that perfect way? Whatever it was, they lost it. Whatever it was, the notion was, I am good, I am made perfect. Perfect. And that's all I need to know. But the more you think about it, brothers and sisters, angelic perfection failed. Angelic perfection. We're not talking about human perfection. It failed. This evening we need to find how possible it is that angelic perfection failed. How possible it is that a perfect man in Eden failed. She says, all who wish for security on earth are in heaven. And I like the tone. I like the way how it is placed. If you are searching for security, whether in earth or in heaven, you must look to the Lamb of God. The problem, brothers and sisters, is not just earth. The problem is universal. The problem is wherever you are, you must look to the Lamb of God. The plan of salvation, making manifest the justice of the love of God, provides an eternal safeguard against defection in unfalling worlds, as well as among those who shall be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Our only hope is perfect trust in the blood of Him who can save to the uttermost. All that come unto God by Him. The death of Christ on the cross of Calvary is our only hope in this world. Does it dawn on you, brothers and sisters, that you can't even trust yourself? You will fail. You must fail. Because if one who was perfect, if one who was always around those who are perfect, breathing perfection and righteousness failed, the question is, where does that leave us? As I think about it, to be honest, there was a new perspective on the plan of redemption. There is a new joy when it comes to Christ. The death of Christ on the cross of Calvary is our only hope in this world. And it will be our theme in the world to come. Oh, we do not comprehend the value of the atonement. If we did, we would have talked more about it. The gift of God in His beloved Son was the expression of an incomprehensible love. It was the uttermost that God could do to preserve the honor of His law and still save the transgressor. Our high calling, page 45. You know, as I think about it, brothers and sisters, should we lean to our own understanding? Can you trust a simple impulse that comes from you? Try and think about it. Could an angel trust one single impulse that is generated from himself? The question is, or the answer, one did. A perfect man trusted an instinct. And 6 billion people today is suffering the consequences of one impulse. It dawned on me, brothers and sisters, that we don't comprehend the heights of salvation. When the song says, moment by moment I am kept in His care, I fail to recognize what that means. Because the truth is, one impulse from Neville brings damnation, brings debt, brings confusion. There's a thought that I read that I want to share. It says, perfection is not a state of goodness to be obtained, but rather a state of trusting God implicitly, without doubting or questioning. God made Adam and Eve and the angels perfect. They were in a perfect state. But the truth is, without trusting in God's perfection, without laying hold on God's righteousness, whatever state you are made in becomes foolishness. There's a beautiful quotation in the faith I live by. The more we read about these things, is the more we understand what is our true condition. What is justification by faith? What is the righteousness of Christ? It is the work of God. Don't ever mistaken it. It is the work of God. To do what? Laying the glory of man in the dust. Brothers and sisters, if we don't understand, if we don't reach to the place where we can believe this, all we're going to do is just to repeat what Adam did. Just to remain in the condition that we are in. It says, it is laying the glory of man in the dust and doing for man that which is not in his power to do for himself. How many of us really and truly grasp, take hold of this reality that it is not in your power to obtain this? It is the utter act of God, and you cannot obtain it. But the first thing that needs to be done is that the glory of man must be put back where it is coming from. When men see their own nothingness, they are prepared to be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. You know, I have been going through these thoughts. I have been contemplating these thoughts. And I ask myself the question, how else could we be saved? How else? It looks so foolish to think that I could have redeemed myself by the things that I do, by the things that I profess. If those who were made perfect could not keep that perfection outside of Christ, woe am I to even think the thought. Woe am I to even think that this perfection can be attained anywhere else outside of Christ. And that is why we need to lift Him up. If He is Christ, our Savior, we need to lift Him up. And the more you think about it, the more we have to understand how it is that someone who is perfect could slip off so badly. Again, our dear sister says the only hope for us if we would overcome, the only hope for us if we would overcome is to unite our will to God's will. What did I just say? The only way for us to overcome is if my will be put out of the way and God's will stands predominant. She says, hour by hour, day by day, we cannot retain self and yet enter into the kingdom of God. If we ever attain unto holiness, it will be through the renunciation of self and the reception of the mind of Christ. Pride, self-sufficiency must be crucified. Are we willing to pay the price required of us? Are we willing to have our will brought into perfect conformity to the will of God? Until we are willing, the transforming grace of God cannot manifest upon us. Our will and desire to choose must be put to death, must be removed from out of the place. You know the thing about it, brothers and sisters, you know that is the only way that perfection failed. The beauty about God is that He gave us the power of choice. Sometimes, I might be wrong to think, but I wonder, why did He give me the choice? But the good God, the perfect God, the holy God, gave us the power of choice. You know what is the beautiful thing about heaven, brothers and sisters? You know what is going to be the joy of heaven? That we can even experience here on earth is when this will is handed back over to Him. Not half-heartedly, but completely. The question is, how possible is that? How possible is that? That I give of myself completely to Him. The truth is, forget heaven. Forget the milk and honey. Forget sitting at the feet of Jesus. Forget looking on this majestic being that is called our Father. Because if we fail to give and to submit our will in His hands, for us heaven is a fairy tale. A perfect angel decided
He wants his own will.
The consequence of that is almost a third of those who were around the throne of God singing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," fell with him. A perfect man decided, "I want my own will." And 6 billion people also suffered the same fate. Who is willing to break the trend? Who is willing to say, "Lord, I don't like this will. I continue to make the wrong decisions. I see that I am heading down a path of destruction. Take it back, that I again can regain that righteousness." You know, brothers and sisters, now we understand that through the ages and eternity, Christ will be our hope. Because there will not be a second when we will not have his life. Because if there is a moment in time when that fails to be the reality, we repeat history. And that is why God is waiting for one perfect pulse to be beat again in this universe. As you think of what sin has done, brothers and sisters, it pains your heart. God made this perfect angel. As he sung, the songs lifted up the name of God, but there comes a point in time when he said, "Listen, I need to start to sing about my beauty." And you and I are the results of that will. I think that we must reach to the place, brothers and sisters, where we come to the realization that our will is not good enough. We need to get rid of this will. So oftentimes we make the wrong decision. When will we learn? Is it that we have not been battered enough? Is it that we need to hear more of what Christ can do? I don't think so. I think that all we need to do is to believe and to trust God. And it will be accomplished. And so we have a perfect angel. We have a perfect human being. The question is where you and I fall in the whole mix. If a perfect angel fell, a perfect human being suffered the same fate. And here we are, feeble, with 6,000 years of a degenerate life. And here we are saying, "I need this righteousness, but I can attain to it by the things that I say and do and profess." How stupid that can be. If perfection failed, what is your safeguard? If perfection failed, because they take their eyes from him who was all perfect, what is your condition? What is your hope? Where is your trust? If perfection failed, the Bible says, "For we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Also says, "Wherefore by one man sin entered the world, and by death, and death by sin, and death passed upon all men." The question is, brothers and sisters, where is the hope? The second question is, do you believe in that hope? Third question is, could you be possible to be saved outside of that hope? In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 11, there's a simple little verse there which says, "For the Son of Man come to save that which was lost." The Son of Man came, and the purpose for him coming was to do what? To save those that was lost. Thank God that he came to save me. Thank God I was lost. Why? Because the purpose of Christ can be fulfilled in my life. You know what is a blessed thought, brothers and sisters? The more you contemplate these thoughts, the more beautiful the scriptures comes to us. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched, with the feelings of our infirmities." Christ came into this world to taste of death, to live my life, to die the death that I should have died. Why? To redeem me, to save me. Why? Because He loves me. The question is, brothers and sisters, do you deserve that love? Absolutely not. But He still leave the majesty of heaven and come down for little worms to live among them, to experience 6,000 years of a life of filth. Why? In order to save us. But yet we go about with our own will. Thank God we have a high priest. And the high priest that we have can feel as we feel, because He was here. Scripture says, "But it was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly." Not with a faint heart, my brothers and sisters. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Do we have a time of need this evening? Romans chapter 3 verse 24 says, "Being justified freely." Man, the thought of justification comes free to us is too much. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We cannot accept and appreciate, brothers and sisters, that justification comes to us, and it comes to us freely. You know why it had to come to us freely? If it come to us any other way, would you be able to make the mark? Would you be able to rise to that occasion? Could you meet that objective if there was a little price to pay? So like God giving us a basket and say, "Carry water with it." And so He gives to us justification and His righteousness free. He says, "All you need to do is to give me your will." Six 6,000 years have passed, and there are people still holding on to that which can only cause death. There's a passage of scripture this evening that I want us to spend some time reading. There's a passage of scriptures that, and the principles here, it must be that it was in the Garden of Eden. The principles here, it must be that it was in heaven. Because this is the key. Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 15. It's a very common verse. Verse that is well known. 6,000 years of sin, I can't even see. It appears I need a brighter light. I'm a young man, and I'm suffering the effects of sin. I need glasses. The scripture says, our Lord says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purged, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4. Was verse 4 applicable to the angels? Was verse 4 applicable to Adam and Eve? What it says? It says, abide in me. You see, brothers and sisters, the truth is, the only way that you and I can be kept in that perfect condition is to abide. And it's so simple. The scripture says, Jesus says, abide in me. The source of life is in Christ Jesus. And all that he says is, link with me, who is the source. Abide in me. Didn't stop there. And I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can he except he abide in me. Angelic perfection, brothers and sisters, must fail if it does not abide with the source. Human perfection will fail if we cut loose of the source of perfection. What about 6,000 years of a degenerate life? What about you and I, brothers and sisters? What about you who have lived a sinful life, taste a sinful life, hear the sinful life? What about us? How much more do we need to abide? When I became an Adventist, there was a particular doctrine that I embraced and I loved it. There was a particular doctrine about the blotting out of sins. When Sister White speaks about the time, well, Paul speaks about it also, when the time of refreshing shall come from the Lord, when all of the memories of sin will be erased. And ever since I accepted Adventism almost 20 years ago, it has been a hope. You know, the truth is, prior to Satan experiencing sin in heaven, he did not have any memory of it. Adam and Eve did not have any of it. The truth is, you and I are plagued with it. How much more do we need to abide? The song keeps ringing. Moment by moment, I'm kept in his care. How quick, how fast is a moment? Verse 5 says, I am the vine and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. There's a nice verse here, the latter part, which says, for without me, you can do nothing. Have we come to this realization, brothers and sisters? Have you recognized that outside of Christ, you can do absolutely nothing? If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and he is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. What is it that abides in you? His words abide in us. He shall ask what he will, and it shall be done unto you. The condition is what? You must abide. Can God be trusted, brothers and sisters? Can this God be trusted? He says, listen, all you need to do is just to abide. Just to abide. And if you abide, he said, ask of me anything and it will be given. The only condition is that you need to stay. You need to abide. You need to keep the focus alive. Verse 8 says, here in my Father, glorify that he bear much fruit, so he shall be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. As the Father has loved me. How much did God love his Son? In Proverbs, it says that while Christ was growing up, it says that he was daily God's delight. And the thought of giving up your son for someone else is a thought that we don't entertain. There are times when I see my son sick and it brings a pain to my heart. But yet the good God gave up his only son for who? A lost and dying world. For what purpose? That you and I can have the divine life. He wants to save us in order just to give us this divine life. He wants to save us that we can have his righteous life. What a God that we serve, brothers and sisters. He's not just trying to save us. He wants to save us, and in addition in saving us, he wants to give us of himself. This morning, Oren speak about the immortal life. That is what he gives each and every one of us. If only we believe and abide. Stay in that love. It is my prayer, brothers and sisters, and a desire in my heart to really abide. You know, as I have been going through these thoughts, man, there could not have been another way, another plan. They couldn't. There was no other way to save me. The only way to save me was to give of himself. God did not withhold himself. The Bible says that God was in Christ, redeeming the world unto himself, reconciling the world unto himself. What a God that we have. And that is why, through the ages in eternity, brothers and sisters, we will ever adore and sing praises unto this wonderful God. We will ever sing praises unto his name. And that is why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. But the only way that we can experience this, brothers and sisters, is to abide. We must abide. In Desire of Ages, page 324, Sister White says, the only defense against evil is the indwelling of Christ in the heart. Through faith in his righteousness, unless we become vitally connected with God, we can never resist the unhallowed effects of self-love, self-indulgence, and temptation to sin. We must have a vital connection. Not one that is intermittent. No, it touch, no, it don't. It must be a vital connection. I have learned a few things in this life. I was at work last year and my light bill went skyrocket. I used to pay like 15,000, 16,000 for light bill, and after a time it just went over to $30,000, and I almost fainted. And it dawned on me that I need to find what is happening, because I don't think that I doubled what I was doing. And so I started doing a little investigation. And I found out that the main that comes from the power service line that comes into my home was solid. But from where the meter is to the machine, there is a, it's not totally severed, but there is a hot joint, as the electricians would call it. A hot joint is a loose joint. A loose joint in electrical term, or a hot joint, it causes the current to leak. And so right there, I am wasting. So I'm actually paying $15,000 for wasted current. And I did not know. One day I found it out, and when I went there, I saw that the what we used to terminate the wire was all corroded. And I went to the hardware and bought a burner clip and clean it up nice. And I put back everything together, and the light bill went back down between 15 and 16,000. You know what took place? It had a vital connection. It did not have a weakened connection or an intermittent connection. No one then it touch. I continue to save. The truth is, brothers and sisters, how is our relationship with Christ? Is it touch and go? What do we need to do? What does faith need to do? When you think of this eternal God, one who is all divine, pure, good, and holy, to come down and live and dwell in the heart of humans, what does it take? It takes nothing from us, but it, from Him, but it takes faith from us. But the truth is, that connection needs to be vital. Have you ever thought to yourself, how long will you remain on this earth? I remember a couple of years back, the return of Christ was ever present on our lips. The desire, the anticipation to meet this man, wanting to leave out of this world of misery. Where is the desire today? The truth is, brothers and sisters, as Christ delay, His people sleeps. As Christ delay, we decide to sever the connection. And sometimes we don't even do it deliberate. Sometimes it's by our associations. Sometimes it's by all manner of different circumstances. But thanks be to God that I am reminded. And you are reminded that the only way to keep that righteous life is by maintaining that vital connection. I hope and pray that that thought will never leave me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30, as we close off, it says, "But of Him are we in Christ Jesus, who God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." You mean that God has done all of these things for you and I? The reality is, yes, He did it. First Corinthians 15, verse 21 and 22 says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die." That's the reality. In Adam we all die. But thanks be to God, even so, in Christ we shall be made alive. Are we alive tonight, brothers and sisters? Are we alive tonight? Do you recognize your true condition in Christ Jesus tonight? Therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us unto himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling, redeeming the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. Who are we, brothers and sisters? We are ambassadors for Christ. And though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be he reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us. God has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. And that's the beauty of the gospel, brothers and sisters. God made him sin for me. Why? That I can receive his righteousness. Whose righteousness? God's righteousness. Colossians 2 and verse 10 says, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and power. Truth is, what Satan have lost, what Adam lost, we have regained. Do you know it, brothers and sisters? The scripture says we are complete. When something is complete, what does it need? We are complete in him. The last verse says, Acts chapter 17 and verse 28. I have been contemplating these verses, for in him we live. For in him we live and move and have our being. Is it a reality for us tonight, brothers and sisters, that in him we live, in him we move, in him we have our existence? I like to sing you a little song tonight of what I really think about Jesus. I'd like to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. 6 billion people in this world. None out of these 6 billion people could do for you what Christ has done. And that is why we need to tell the story of the great plan of redemption. And that's why we need to sing it on the housetop, on the hilltop, that we have been redeemed by his blood. Because there is no other friend to me like Jesus. Will you listen to the words? I would like to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. You know why? No one ever cared for me like my Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for us. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms around me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like my Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me. Till someday I see His blessed face above. Sing the chorus with me. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from. Oh no, oh how much He cares for me. One last time. No one ever cared for me like our Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. How much He cares for me and for you.
For further information or for additional copies, you may contact Restoration Ministries, P.O. Box 23, Knockpatrick, that's Knockpatrick, Knockpatrick, Manchester, Jamaica, West Indies. Or you may call from the USA 304-932-4543 or from Jamaica 603-0821, or you may email us at david@restorationministry.com. God bless you.